So you all, last week I got a bit fired up talking about the armor of God, talking about that there's a war going on. And this was originally going to be a two-part series. I was going to do it last week and finish it up this week. And so I was trying to construct this sermon as much as I can to finish it this week, but it's way too good. I'm like, God, if I just try to finish it up in 2 weeks, I won't be able to communicate this point clearly and this point clearly. And we need to, you know, as a church, we need to camp out at a couple of different things and figuring out, you know, who we are, our identity in Christ, you know, about the spiritual war that's going on. So if you all don't mind, instead of doing this 2 week, I'm going to actually extend it one more week. Y'all cool with that? And so after Kids Sunday, we're going to finish it up. We're going to finish it up. Move everything back that I kind of logged in my mind. We're going to finish it up for week 3. Y'all all right with that? Okay then. Cool. Now, God just really, really, really was reminding me who I am and taught me who I am and how powerful we are. And God goes, compel the people. You all, we about to figure out who we are. Now, one of my best friends, who happens to be my brother-in-law, he came here a few times, Josh Trimble. I love it whenever he comes and hangs out. And whenever we get together, it's like a big party. Big party whenever we get together. And it's really easy because we were best friends in college. And so best friends married best friends. And so we hung out all of the time in college. And we had our children. We got married just a few months within each other. Had our kids right around the same times. So whenever the cousin gets together, they go crazy. When Heidi gets together, they go crazy. But when Josh and I get together, it's a fantastic escape, you know, or it's a fantastic like little retreat that we get to do. Now, almost every time where we meet up, we go see a movie. Almost every time, and we normally go see a movie where several people are getting their, you know, like getting their bodies completely exploded, like some fun action movie. I can watch 10 action movies a day, you know, but you know, Heidi, she's not very fond of action movies, and that's all right. That's cool, because whenever Josh and I get together, we get our fill. So he came down here a few weeks ago, and we went to go see, you know, the superhero Marvel movie, Black Panther. All right, has anybody back there seen Black Panther? I mean, that movie is incredible. I know some of y'all thinking, like, Black Panther? Like, don't worry about it. Like, the movie has nothing to do with the Black Panthers. It's a Marvel superhero movie. Just go watch it. If you're an action movie guy, it's incredible. So I'm in the IMAX watching this movie, and I am blown away. I mean, absolutely blown away. Because in this movie, you have this fictitious city called Wakanda. All right? Now, what makes me love this movie so much is because of the pride the people have for this fictitious city, the pride that they have for the city they live in, Wakanda. And Wakanda is beautiful. I mean, absolutely beautiful. And not only is it just beautiful, but it's like the land of milk and honey. For Wakanda, like while the rest of the world struggles, you know, and yeah, while the rest of the world struggles and while the rest of the world is warring against each other, while the rest of the world is warring against resources, Wakanda thrives. I mean, they have, you know, they excel in agriculture. They excel, you know, in science. They excel in technology. They have more resources you can shake a stick at. Abundant in resources. And if you're from Wakanda, you love Wakanda. You love it. But sometimes the folks had to leave Wakanda to go fight the battles that's in this world. And if you're from Wakanda and you left Wakanda to go fight the battles in the rest of the world, you longed to be back home. Like, you didn't make yourself too comfortable in Paris. You didn't make yourself too comfortable in California. You didn't make yourself too comfortable in Beijing because you knew that your home was significantly better than any other place. And the thing about Wakanda, it was hidden from the rest of the world. Like, if you weren't a citizen of that area, you couldn't go there. And the people from there, they longed to be home. You all, 1 Peter 2:11 says this. Behold, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Now, you hear those words, you all. Sojourners and exiles. Some translations say, like they call us aliens. And so Peter is saying, like in this world, you are an alien. You are a sojourner. How do you pronounce that word? Somebody help me out. Sojourner. Yeah, you know what? You're that. You're an exile. You don't belong there. Don't get too comfortable. Has anybody ever wondered, like, why on earth Peter used that language? You all, like, on this earth, surely I'm not an exile. Or on earth, surely I'm not an alien, because last time I checked, Malden, Missouri, where I was raised, is on the planet Earth. You know, Missouri is on planet Earth. I mean, I bought a house in planet Earth. I had my kids on planet Earth. And, you know, my mom had her kids on planet Earth, and so on and so forth. Like, surely this is my home. This is where my ancestors are. This is where everybody has been since the dawn of time. At first glance, this scripture doesn't make sense, but in order to fully grasp it, we must go a little bit deeper. So, church, this sermon today, it's a relatively short sermon, depending on how excited I get. You know, it's a relatively short sermon, but it's heavy. It's meaty. It's very meaty, but this is what I believe exactly what God wants us to hear this morning. Amen? Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 says this, but God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That's great news. And we hear this verse all of the time, the famous verse, by grace you have been saved. And a lot of times whenever we read that verse, we focus right there. By grace you have been saved. And don't get me wrong, that it's beautiful. That is an absolute beautiful verse. But let's pay attention to what's after it. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Like, did y'all see that? Seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, hear me when I say this, church. Spirit beings are the only ones that can enter the heavenly places. Now, the heavenly places is y'all, that's the spiritual realm. That spiritual realm. Now, again, let me repeat that. All right. Spirit beings are the only ones that can enter the spiritual realm. That's it. Now, heaven is in the spiritual realm. God is spirit and lives in the spiritual realm. Do y'all understand that? Like we have to first realize that, you all. John 4, 24 says, God is spirit and his worshipers, that's you and I. Right? If you are a saint, you are the worshipers. And so if God is spirit, then all of his worshipers, you and I, saints, followers of Christ, must worship in spirit and in truth. If you are a saint in here, you are no longer natural beings, but you are spiritual beings. Keep that in mind. If you are in Christ, that natural man is dead. It's gone. You are no longer a natural person because the natural people only, obey natural rules, the natural order. We don't have access to the supernatural as natural. So whenever you are saved, God completely killed that natural person and that supernatural, you know, That spirit that was sleeping, God resurrected that. And now, as a saint, you all are spiritual beings. The word says that, you know, in 1 Peter 2, actually, he says that we are a royal priesthood. And so if you are from royalty, if you are God's possession, it says, you know, in 2 Peter, if you are royalty, if you are spirit beings, then you need to start walking with a swag. You think about it. You won't see the king or whatever, you know, just like, yeah, I'm a king. Kind of timid, you know, kind of weak. But if you have that authority of royalty, you're sticking your chest out like, this is who I am. And then it also would affect the way that you behave. Kings and queens, people of royalty, don't, you know, they don't act like peasants. They don't act just, you know, just all weak or whatever. They realize how strong they are. They realize the authority that they have. We are royalty. Do you pray like it? Do you sing like it? Do you treat others like they're royalty? And we're talking about the spiritual warfare. Do you fight like you're royalty? Church, y'all hear me? Now, so allow me to break this down for you. According to Ephesians 2, every saint, all right, you know, you were once dead in your trespasses, right? But because of the grace of God, he raised us up with him and seated us, all right, elevated us to the spiritual realm with him. God himself gave us a new home with him. But y'all, everything is with him. But that's not just the, now that's good, but to me, that's not just the best part. Let's go to the word of God when he says this. Ephesians 1:3 says this, you all. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So many times I was scared to read that verse because I'm like, man, what does that mean? I'm seeing spiritual blessings. I'm seeing the heavenly realms. That's a little bit too deep. You know, that water's a little bit too deep there where I can swim in, you know? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Allow me to explain that by explaining this. Now, very first time I went to a resort was when, it was my honeymoon. So 2009, Heidi and I, we went to Playa del Carmen, and we went to the Blue Bay Grand Esmeralda. I mean, it was absolutely immaculate. Very first time out of the country. And I remember just driving on these just beat up roads. We flew into Cancun and we drove from Cancun to the resort. And I mean, I remember seeing the roads were all bad and stuff like that. And it just wasn't really impressive as we were driving around. But we pulled into that bad boy and it was like, hallelujah. I mean, it was just beautiful. So we got there at night and we got in the room and the room was immaculate. Beautiful room. I mean, they had a bathroom big enough that you can play football in. You had a huge California king size bed beautiful room and sitting right next in front of a huge, like, big screen TV. I wanted to watch TV that night, but it was all in Spanish, and so I like cut it off. Let me just do something else. But you know, and then it was a sliding glass door, and we opened the door and we heard the ocean. Like, we had an ocean view room, perfect room, right? So we woke up early this morning. I looked at this, you know, I looked at the window, saw the ocean, and you heard it, and you smelled it, and I'm like, I want to go to the ocean, but I'm hungry. Let's get something to eat. So Heidi and I, you know, we got together, and we walked to the restaurant that's on the resort, and while being there in the restaurant, the spread was amazing. The thickest pieces of bacon, like the thickest, juiciest bacon ever. You know, they had the sweetest, juiciest fruit that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, the eggs were as fluffy as a cloud. I mean, it was perfect breakfast, right? So I'm just loading up. I'm like, look, I take 10 of these, I take 12 of these, I take 14 of these, trying to stick some in my pocket. I mean, it was great. So the waiter came to the table, was like, you guys need anything else? And I'm like, no, I just need the check. And now he's like, shh. No, thank you. Thank you so much. And kind of left. I'm like, what? I'm sorry. It's our honeymoon. I know we're going to have to spend a lot of money in this. And he goes, it's all inclusive. Like, you don't pay. Like, it's already been paid for. It's all inclusive. And I'm like, what? All inclusive? Just this restaurant? She's like, no. Everything was inclusive. And I mean, everything that was given something away, I took it. I don't care if I want it or not. I'm like, yep, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'll take 10 of those. I'll take 12 of those. I'm like, I paid for it. I might as well get it all. But whenever I stepped off that resort, you know, it was a different, you know, it was a whole different ball field. Now, as long as I was on the resort, everything there was allotted to me. I was allowed to experience every single amenity there, every single one, because it was paid in full. Church, if God has seated us with him in the heavenly places, then every amenity in the heavenly places is allotted to us. Do you understand that? That should blow your mind right now. Heaven, everything in heaven is allotted to the people who are from there. And that scripture says that we are seated in the heavenly places. Not when we die. You are seated in the heavenly places right now. Royalty. We are currently blessed with every blessing in the heavenly realms. So what does that have to do with raging war against the devil? Let's go back to the verse we camped at last week. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is big. Hear me when I say this, you all. If there is a supernatural war taking place in the heavenly places, then armor and weapons needed to fight this war must be supernatural as well. Anybody ever watch Looney Tunes growing up? My favorite character was Marvin the Martian. Love Marvin the Martian, right? And I don't know if you all remember, but Marvin the Martian had a very particular weapon. Anybody remember what that was? The Pew-36 Explosive Space Modulator. You didn't see Marvin the Martian carrying around Dirty Harry. You didn't see Marvin the Martian carrying around, you know what I'm saying, a 30-30 shotgun. You didn't see Marvin Martian throwing ninja stars or nothing like that. But he used the weapon. He understood that the weapons that he had was far superior than the earthly weapons. And so he, to destroy whatever, he used that. A lot of you movie buffs who like sci-fi, you understand that. When the aliens come to town, they ain't trying to steal our weapons. They use their own little laser beams or whatever to zap us into another dimension. Because he knew that the weapons on this earth was insufficient for the battle he was going to fight. The question is, church, why do we constantly pick up weapons that are useless to us? What's a weapon that's useless to us that we use a lot? Our works. Oh, no, if I, you know, all I got to do is just do right. All I got to do is say this right. All I got to do is treat people with respect, you know, and then I can win this battle. You can't do that. You are not capable yourself of accessing the spiritual weapons. Because last time I checked, it was who seated us in the heavenly places? God seated us in the heavenly places. And so God understood that there was nothing that you can do to make it to the supernatural. So God, all right, you know, relinquished his glory, came to the natural, died, you know, and you deserve death, died in our place, all right? So if we make him our Lord, then we are resurrected and he takes us to the supernatural. And he says, here, son. Here, daughter, these are all of my weapons. Now go fight the good fight. Church, we must first know where we are positionally, then carry out our orders according to that position. Who we got in the sound booth? All right, so we got Mike. We got Mike and Mike. So check this out. If one of the mics came down here, let's say they wanted to mute my mic, all right? And so it would make, like, if Mike will come down here and be like, let me mute your mic or let me mute the piano or let me kind of dim the lights, it would make no sense because the other mic would say, what are you doing? You do that from up here. The control panel is up here. If Mike wanted to dim the lights, then he would have to go up there. If he wanted to, you know, like put more, I don't know, more treble in whatever, then he would have to go up there. If he wanted to increase the volume or whatever, he had to go up there. Do y'all see where I'm going here? He couldn't do his job as a sound tech from down here, for he must go up there. In church, we must go. If you want to be a truly great soldier in the battle of, in the spiritual battle, if you want to be a good soldier in the army of God, then you can't stay down here to do your job. You must go up there. The armor of God is a spiritual blessing from up there that determines what goes on down here. If you want to win this fight, men and women, go up there. Father, give me everything I need. Equip me to fight this battle. I don't have what it takes. And that's where God wants you to be. I don't have what it takes, God. And he goes, great, let me take you up there. And let me tell you about all the weapons, all of these spiritual blessings you have allotted to you so you can go fight this battle. You all, the word says for us to put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor. Every single piece he wants you to put on. See, if you don't put on the whole armor of God, then you are exposed and you're going to get whooped. I remember whenever I was a freshman in high school, we had a fantastic football team. We went to state that year. I mean, it was a great, great, great football team. Right? And so during the Jamboree, before the Jamboree, I proved myself good enough to get a little playing time on that state-bound team. And as a freshman, I'm kind of feeling big for my britches. I'm like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm good enough that I can play on this team. And it was the Jamboree, right? And then coach looked at me, Marks, wow, I get to show up in front of everybody. Marks, come on. And I'm like, yes, coach. All right. He was like, get over here. So I'm standing beside coach, and I'm waiting for the play to end because I'm like, I'm about to get in the game. And then when the play was over, he was like, all right, I want you to win the 24 trap. You the two back. Let's go. And then I'm like, oh. And I was feeling, and I didn't have my hip pads. Right? And coach didn't play. You had to have on your full equipment. And so right before I ran out, I'm like, oh. And so I looked at the little squirmy dude that wouldn't go see no playing time ever in his career, like ever. Not even in Madden, they would put him on the bench, you know? I mean, like, you know. So I'm like, and I wanted to jerk or anything. I'm like, hey, man, can I borrow your hip pads? He's like, sure. You know, so he's taking them off or whatever. And so I'm like, and he goes, "You don't have your pants. You don't have your uniform. Sit down." I'm like, "But didn't you tell me to go run the play, coach?" You know? I was so ticked off at him. So ticked. And I'm just sitting on the end of the bench. The whole family is there. This is the first high school football game that I'm a part of. And I get to be in. And I just felt like I let everybody down. And I just was at the end of the line, just crying my eyes out and so ticked off, right? And I didn't have my equipment. I was so mad at him for a while, but now it makes sense. Coach protected me right there. For if I go out on the field with my helmet, I could die. If I went out in the field without my shoulder pads, I could get, you know, super injured. If I didn't have my hip pads, I could break my hip. A good football player understands that he has to have his full equipment to fight the battle. God wants you to put on every single equipment. That's why he just didn't say put on the armor of God, but the whole armor of God. God wants every area on our body to be protected. Amen? Now, at first, I was going to do all of them, every single one. And so, you know, I'm thinking of the helmet of salvation. I'm thinking of the breastplate of righteousness and sword of spirit and the shield of faith and the belt of truth and the feet, you know, planted with the readiness of the gospel. I'm thinking about all of these, you know, and so I was at the belt of truth, and God goes, "Camp out the belt of truth. Only speak on that today. We hit the other ones later on. Y'all, it's the truth. So let's focus on that for this last few minutes, you all, the belt of truth." In John 8, 31, 32, Jesus told the new Jew believers, "If you abide in my word," this is Jesus' mouth, "if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said that I am the way and the what? The truth and the life. Now, just because Jesus is the truth does not mean I'll automatically go to heaven. I'm going to repeat that. Just because Jesus is the truth does not mean I automatically go to heaven. It doesn't mean that you automatically go to heaven. You're not automatically a citizen of heaven because Jesus is the truth, because there's something that you must do. You have to what? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, and so it's not the truth that sets you free. It's knowing the truth that sets you free. Do you know the truth, men and women? God's truth is what set us free. Knowing God's word is what set us free. Understanding truth is what holds all of the armor in place, the belt of truth. And it starts off with that. Now, that is so important because Satan is a liar and a deceiver. He doesn't want you to understand the truth, to know the truth, to adopt the truth, to live out the truth. He's going to lie to you, telling you who you are and who he is. So you can get a misconstrued, you know, just a misconception of what God is. That's why all of these crazy sects, you know, that's why all of these crazy religions are happening right now, because the devil has deceived them of who God is. Buddha, little g God, exists because Satan is a liar. Y'all hear me? People, atheists, agnostics, exists because Satan is a liar. If you don't know the truth, men and women, if you don't know the truth that God has given you, then you are just simply clay allowing Satan to mold you to whatever mold he sees fit. Tony Evans, amazing pastor, talked about truth by saying this. And he said that if I went to let's say I had a headache, and I went to CVS, and I would get some Tylenol, I would get some ibuprofen to treat this headache, and I would go and I would take it, but let's say the headache is still there, still pounding headache. So after a while, I go to the doctor. I'm like, doctor, I still have this headache, so what's up? And he does the x-ray, and he finds some sort of a tumor or something like that. You know, he goes, well, that's the reason for your headache. Tylenol, ibuprofen won't treat this headache, you know? Now, I had a headache, fact, but that wasn't the truth, you know, but I didn't understand the truth until I went and got everything checked out. So, church, now, your feelings may be fact. I feel this way, therefore, this is how I should behave. But that's not true. It's not about your feelings. What does the word say about it? And so, church, if you are insufficient of getting to God's word, of knowing the truth, then you are in bondage, because it's knowing the truth that sets you free. If you don't know the truth, then you're going to be in bondage. Your hands and your feet are shackled. And as a soldier of God, and the soldier in the army of God, you need all of your limbs ready to fight the battle on your behalf and on your brothers and sisters' behalf. I don't need any of you all chained up. Nobody should be in bondage. We have the freedom. Do you know you have the freedom? Do you know that you have the freedom? Amen? Josh, you can come on now. Now you all, like, saints, this earth is not our home. Like, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't. Because that's not our home. Since we're seated with him in the heavenly places, since then, like, since that's our home, it would affect our outlook on everything down here. Do you have that spiritually, that spiritual mindset? Do you have that heavenly places mindset, men and women? Do you? Do you realize how incredibly strong you are? How incredibly valuable that you are? Some of you all are sitting here, you don't think you were two dead flies masked. What? Satan is a liar. Adopt the belt of truth. You are a royal priesthood. You are a people for God's own possession. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a soldier, an active duty soldier in the army of God. Put on that belt of truth and then go act like it. Amen? For those, everybody please stand. And with everybody with every head bowed and with every eye closed, I would greatly appreciate that. You all, some people in here, you may be in here and you constantly believe what Satan is telling you, that you're not worthy enough, you know, to receive God's love and God's grace. You know, that like, there's nothing you can do. Like, your life is ruined. You know, there's nothing that you can do, or whatever. Like, or you're not special. You're not precious. You're not strong. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. But put on that belt of truth, and God's like, hey, I am here for you. You all submit your life to Christ today. Make sure today that you will stop believing in that lie. Clothe yourself with the belt of truth and allow God to seat you in that spiritual realm, in the heavenly place, so you too can be that royal priesthood. If you don't know Jesus today, men and women, the time to know him is right now. Do not believe in a lie. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to accept him as Lord and Savior, so he can give you these spiritual blessings, and he will give you a new identity, and your entire world is changed forever. He's waiting for you to make that decision. If there's, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, is there anybody in here that wants to make that decision today? Like, today you don't know Jesus Christ, and right now, today, you wish to make that decision to follow Christ, to submit to his pursuit. If there's anybody in here that wants to make that decision, will you be so bold to raise your hand right now? Amen. Amen. Put your hands down. Amen. Amen. For those who made that decision today, you are a soldier. You're a soldier. That's what we're going to do. After Josh sings the song, we're going to just meet me in the pastor's room, and I will love to introduce you to God. Love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. For all you saints in here, strap on the belt of truth. Realize that you're seated in the heavenly places. And let's go do some damage in the war that we have to fight. Amen. Father, thank you so much for being here, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, as we worship this song that Josh is going to sing, Lord God, that you will compel us even more, Lord God, to go fight your war. Thank you so much for being with us, Lord God. You will never leave us nor forsaken us, Lord God. We pray, God, you will compel us even more to go fight your battles. Thank you so much, God, for the people who submitted to you, Lord God, today. We pray, Father, that you would just give them the boldness and the confidence to go fight the war. Thank you for saving souls today, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.